I found this quote. It said, a minister was speaking to a little boy, and he said, "So your mother says your prayers with you each night. What does she say?" And the youngster said, "Thank goodness he's in bed." So let's just open in a word of prayer. Father, we just want to commit this time to you. We want to thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then especially just today, thank you for our mothers, for each one. Thank you for their diligence in many ways. Thank you for their faults and their weaknesses and all the things that you've been working on in their lives. And I just pray you'd encourage them today. And so we just lift these things up to you, Father. We just thank you for this time now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Wow. Billy Sunday is an evangelist. He said this, "I don't believe there are devils enough in hell to pull a boy out of the arms of a godly mother." Or even Spurgeon himself said, "Never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother." Proverbs 14, verse 1 says, "The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down." So it's a tough job. Somebody made a list of all the things that mothers have done or would do in a typical day. I don't know if it's exactly the same today, but they added up all the cost of all the people you'd have to hire to do the job of a mother. And it was a lot of money to cover all the things that many mothers do. And every mother's different. And I don't want to suggest anything, you must do this, you must do that. But there are some things that the Lord calls mothers to do. And one of those that we're going to talk about today and that the Lord is deeply involved in is building homes. And I was thinking about building homes. I was talking to Tyler last week. He's a home builder. Got his name right that time. And there's a lot of interesting parallels in the construction of a home. We all live in a home. And to how the Lord raises up his children. And certainly how mothers, in an imperfect way, raise up their children. Proverbs 14 goes on to say, "The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish." There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. But there is a right way. There is a right way to build a home. I'm going to jump around a bit because here you must speak on this scripture, so I'm going to be all over the place a bit. But just bear with me, and Lord willing, may the Spirit just work on all of us this morning. So there is a right way to build a home. Proverbs 24 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." And so many homes over the centuries have been filled with not furniture and carpets and accessories, but young souls being raised up in the Lord, precious in the Lord's sight. So by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A lot of people try to find foundation in other things, the wisdom of the world or other things, but the Bible is clear on the things that make for a solid home, a home that's built and established and filled with precious things. Ultimately, to sum it up in one phrase, Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. It's a wonderful thing to think also about the type of house that the Lord is building when he's working on us. He's working on us. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" And if that's not enough to think of that, just in another verse in John 14, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." That'd be wise and understanding. and my Father will love him, and we, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity of the Lord, we will come to him and make our home with him. What a privilege that is. What kind of a guest do we have in our home? And Lord willing, may it cause us to live a life that would want the Lord to feel at home in these temples, albeit temporary in this life. So how does the Lord go about building these temples where he desires to make his home with us? And maybe what part do we have to play in the process to be wise and be understanding? Well, I don't know who's ever built a home from scratch here before. One, just Judy. Okay. I'm impressed. Well, the first thing you need to build a home is you need the plans. You need plans. You need a design of some kind. And boy, does the Lord have plans for his people. Ephesians 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." The next chapter, Ephesians 2:10, says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so, now before you build a house, you need the plans. You need to know where everything's going to be. But the Lord has plans if we're willing to walk in his ways, to consider his word, to be obedient, to be on our knees in prayer, a lot of the things that Sean talked about a couple of weeks ago. He's got plans for us. And I didn't have time to get into all of it, but he doesn't only have plans for us here in this life. And there's another verse and another message another day, but he's got plans for us in the next life to come as well. Even greater than the plans that he has already written for us here in this life. So the Lord has plans. He's rolled out the plans. He knows where he wants us to be. So the next thing I was thinking of, if you're going to build a home, what would you think would be the next thing you need? That's what I thought, foundation. But actually, when I was really thinking about it, before the Lord can begin the foundation, it's called breaking ground. The ground needs to be broken. Who here has had your life broken up a little bit before the Lord came into your life and started building foundation? Yeah, lots of nodding going on, yeah. If you just take the raw ground and start pouring cement and foundation on it, it's not gonna sit well. The Lord's got to come in, and everybody's got different requirements for foundation. Some of us it's a quick foundation or a quick breaking ground, and the pouring begins and the foundation is lower there. Some of us it's dynamite and dump truck loads and years of blasting to clear a space to break the heart, to bring us to humility. Before the foundation of the Lord can be placed. We think of the soils where the word of God can take root, and it's a broken up soil. And so, if you're here and you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he's working on the land, he's breaking ground, I'd encourage you to repent and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so we can get off the breaking of the ground and get on with the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God works to soften people's hearts through trying times. Some of us have some groundbreaking after as well. We'll talk about that as well. But Psalm 34 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Paul writes this. Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians. He says, "For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I do regret it, for I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation. There will be a lot of people in heaven. And I'm looking forward to meeting them all. I think there's going to be enough time, probably, that are going to be pretty grateful for the groundbreaking that happened in their life that led them to their knees to accept Christ as their Savior. And they never would have gotten there without it. We live in a world today that tries to get rid of all the pain and the suffering and the trials and the tribulations. And boy, there's some people that wouldn't get rid of those for anything because it led them to the Lord. And so let's be mindful that before the foundation can be poured, there needs to be a broken and contrite spirit, a broken ground. So next would be the foundation. And boy, we're big on foundations and things to stand on in this world today. You may turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We'll read a few verses in 1 Corinthians 3. But the focus verse in 1 Corinthians 3 would be this, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can see behind me here. That I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Only one foundation in the life of a Christian. We sing a song sometimes. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is a new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Only one foundation. If you try and build your, and we'll talk about this as we begin to build, if you don't have a foundation, a strong foundation, which the Lord Jesus Christ is, but if you have a foundation that isn't the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, you're going to be building on shaky ground. And as we're going to read in a minute, when the storms come. And the interesting thing about the foundation is that you don't really see it after the house is built. It's kind of hidden a little bit. But boy, is it important to be there. Even in large buildings and structures where they build these deep foundations, it's just a big hole in the ground. You have no idea what's going on until that's finished. And then this 80-story skyscraper comes up, but not without the foundation, not without a deep foundation. I've found in my life that the Lord has taught me in ways that are just uncomfortable to stop leaning on things that aren't strong. That the Lord can take away, instantly take away health and financial stability and family. And but yet we find ourselves, I do still, struggling to not lean on these things that the Lord can take away. But as we heard this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. When we have that foundation in the Lord, it's an immovable, eternal foundation that cannot be taken away. So lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things you need when you're building a home, once the foundation's poured, and part of the foundation pouring as well, is you need this thing called blueprints, these big plans that you roll out that shows everything about the house that has to get built. I was going to ask Tyler today, but I'm imagining when you're building a house, right from the very first thing you got to do, if you're not referring to the blueprints on a daily basis when you're building, you're going to get off track. You need to look at the blueprints to know where the drains are and to know where the doors go and know where the windows go and know where the walls are supposed to be and know where the driveway is. If you don't have that, if you're not referring to those blueprints, which are a great part of the plan that the Lord has for us, you're gonna have a mess of a house. And boy, do we have a set of blueprints here when we're building houses and when the Lord's working to build a house through us, that he's asked us to refer to these plans on a daily basis. It's a lifelong building project in this life, as the structure is being built day by day, moment by moment, obedient act by obedient act, disobedient act and discipline, Lord willing, back to obedient act and back to obedient act, and then disobedient sin and repentance and discipline and back to obedience. And we have these plans that we can refer to every day, these wonderful blueprints. 1 Corinthians 3, where we are in verse 9, says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it." And then it says these words, "Let each one take care how he builds upon it." Verse 11 we've read, "No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 12, "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones," and then there's another set of building materials here, "wood, hay, straw," who's heard the three little pigs? Yeah, wood, hay, and straw, are these good building materials? No, I'm not sure if that's where that story came from, but you want to be building with gold and silver and precious stones on the foundation. It says in verse 13, "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" These are hard words in many respects, because we ought to be managing how we're building. We're called on to build with gold, silver, or precious stone. One of the encouraging things through all this is when we do struggle and we do sin and we're quenching the Holy Spirit, as it were, and we start building with wood and hay and straw, all that construction work goes up in flames. But because we're still on the foundation, even if we're struggling in the building, we're still on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "though he himself will be saved." And there's encouragement, eternal encouragement in that, that despite our struggles, after we're on the foundation, we're still on the foundation. Once you're saved in the hand of the Lord, you can never be taken away, never taken out of God's family once you're born again. So my notes here: but if we don't take care how we build, if we're not building with our sins confessed and filled with the Spirit, our building will be wood and hay and straw and will not survive. Burned up, but nonetheless, we will be saved through it all. What happens if you're building a home and you decide to not do what the plans say, and you start kind of doing what you think, what you feel like doing, and you put the door that's close enough over here, and I think the window was, I don't remember, I'm not going to look it up, I think the window was about this size. I think it was around here. I think this wall was supposed to be right around here. And then the contractor, then the homeowner comes in and sees the work that's been done. In real life, what's going to happen? If the contractor has plans and you haven't followed them, he's going to come in and say, "Tear it down, fix it, make it right. This isn't the way that it's supposed to be." So in comes the discipline and all that work. I found a quote that said, we've all heard this before: do it right the first time. If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over? And so it's important on a daily basis that we're consulting the blueprints as we're moving through this construction process. The Lord's working in us, and we're doing our part in obedience in the building. And if we refuse to look or we take a week off from looking, there's going to be doors in the wrong place and windows in the wrong place. And the Lord's going to come in and say, we need to fix this. We need to go back to where we were. I've often said the Lord's asked us to build this, and we say, I don't think so. And we start building a bunch of stuff over here, wood, hay, and straw. He's going to be like, no, this is no good. Let's go back over here and go build what I told you to build here first. And it's a wonderful thing to think of the plans the Lord has for us if we're just willing to build the way He's called us to build, and to work the way He's called us to work, to trust in Him the way He's called us to trust in Him. In this life and the life to come, it's exciting to think about the doors that might open in front of us if we've walked with the Lord rather than just kind of occasionally consulting the plans. First John 2 says, these are all familiar verses. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this way we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. If we consult the plans, we're going to build a godly home. We're going to build a godly house. We're going to raise our children up in the Lord. We're going to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Hard to do. And we did hear this from Sean a couple of weeks ago, and I'll read it. It's Luke 6, and it's in another passage as well. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why are you not looking at the plans? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the floods arose, the stream broke against the house. When the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and couldn't shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin was great. Great joy also comes to the owner when the builder is following the plans that he's carefully drawn for them. It brings joy. We heard about joy this morning in the Lord from our brother Steve and others. It brings joy to the Lord when we're following the blueprints, when we're referring to them daily and walking in His ways. And it brings joy to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, too, to see our fellow man walking in the ways of the Lord. And obviously the opposite is true when we see a brother struggling and being away from the plans, and or a sister, and being away from the things of the Lord. It doesn't bring joy. It brings hurt and pain and concern and worry. In Third John 3:4, it says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." How many mothers could raise their hand and say that's true? Sometimes we're stumbling in the truth, but we're doing our best. I won't get into too much other, but another analogy you can think of, you can imagine a home in Souk, maybe, where the weather's not so good, without walls and insulation to stop the weather from pouring in. If you try and move through this life in a house without walls, it's like trying to move through your Christian life without any armor on. The Lord calls us to have our armor on to stop the fiery darts of the evil one from getting through. If we construct our homes the way the Lord's asked us to construct them, we're going to be insulated in a sense from the storms and the wind and the weather. If we neglect those things, it's like starting the day with no siding, no insulation, just open 2x4s. Wind's coming in, storms are coming in. We're not protected from the elements that the God of this world is stirring up every day. We don't have our armor on. Or who's ever been into a home that has had the power out for a while, and the water's been out for a while. There's nothing flowing in the wires. There's no energy in the wires. There's no water in the pipes. It's just a dark and cold place. And boy, that's what happens in our homes if we don't have the Spirit working in our lives, working, flowing through our wires, as it were. Having the Word of God flowing through our pipes, keeping everything up and running and warm and watered in the home. I had something else I wanted to add there. It'll come to me. Oh. Sometimes it's easy to see a home that's been worked on for years, speaking of the life of a Christian. And we look at it and we try to understand. Maybe a new believer or even more an unbeliever looks at this home and can't understand why there's warmth and peace and patience and all the fruit of the Spirit, because they can't see all the work that the Lord has put into that structure, into that home over the years. They can't see the pipes in the walls filled with the Spirit and the wires filled with the power of the Lord and the insulation to keep the weather out. It's just they just know when they go in, they know it's warm inside. And they wonder why their house isn't warm and why their house shakes when the weather comes. Well, they have no walls, they have no foundation, they have no Holy Spirit. And so even though, as we said before, and we talked about this yesterday at breakfast, you can't see the Lord Jesus Christ, but people ought to be able to see Him in us, because He's been working on us and working in us and through us. And our pipes are filled with the Word of God, and there is energy in the wires in the home. And it is a warm place filled with the Spirit. So as we build our homes, we need to follow the blueprints. A few quotes connected with mothers and parents on home building. Psalm 113:9 says, He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. And many cases, a home isn't a home as much when the children leave. Some of you have new children in your homes, and it makes for a, well, Lord willing, most of the time, joyous mother of children. Matthew 12:25. Here's an important quote. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand." So we need to be husband and wife together in the home, raising the children, following the blueprints, lest we risk the house being divided and the house falling. We see that all over the place today. Houses collapsing everywhere. No foundation, divided in all kinds of ways. Joshua 24:15. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Proverbs 24. I read this already. "By wisdom a house is built. Through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." Proverbs 31. "She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." Proverbs 15, "In the house of the righteous there is much treasure." Maybe Trevor. "But trouble befalls the income of the wicked." And as I began with, the wisest of women builds her house. And if the road seems long, and sometimes it seems long, I'm sure, especially for the mothers, Philippians 1:6 says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Hang in there, one day at a time. And just a few final thoughts. The Lord has prepared plans for you. Work prepared in advance for us to do. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's number one. Number two, the Lord breaks ground to prepare our hearts unto salvation. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Number three, there's only one foundation that can be poured into this broken ground. The rock solid eternal foundation of the Lord Jesus. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then finally, and together with the Lord, we build on this foundation with the help of the Holy Spirit to follow these great blueprints, the Word of God. And when the flood arose, the streams broke against that house in it and could not shake it because it had been well built. So these blueprints we have here, they have a lot to say about this great design of motherhood. And they have a lot to say about being fathers too and about being children. But today's Mother's Day. And I'll just finish with this quote. And it was almost quoted, even though it wasn't quoted this morning in the first service. There was a reverend, I don't know who he is or what his background is, but his name was Lee Thomas. He said this: only eternity will reveal the incredible number of souls that have been saved through the tears and prayers of a mother's love. And the value of a godly mother can be measured when her children rise up and call her blessed. So happy Mother's Day. Let's be excited about the homes the Lord's working on and building in this life and in the life to come. It's an exciting thing to think about the work that he has prepared for us, likely right on into eternity, far beyond what we could think or imagine. So let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you again for these wonderful blueprints. Help us to remember our place in all of this. Help us to remember that we are temples, that you desire to come and make your home with us. Thank you for the times when we wander away from the blueprints and you discipline us to come back to fix the broken walls and fix the broken doors and make things right with you again. You're always right beside us, even when we wander away. And for the mothers, we just pray for encouragement, young and old, in raising up their children and the grandchildren in the Lord. May it be a work that is treasured. May it be a work, Lord willing, that has a renewed value in this society in which we live today, raising up this next generation of men and women, set apart, sanctified men and women to serve you and to bring honor and glory to your name. And so we just thank you again for this time and for your word and for your son, the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.